Quick score update from the U.S. Open. Tiger Woods, 17 right now. Missed a pretty makeable birdie putt. Made his par putt coming back, so he's at -2 right now. Justin Rose still in the lead. 7-under. He is obviously playing with LT Gray. Ricky Fowler, 5-under. Matt Kuchar at 5-under. So we'll see. This is just gorgeous, man. I still can't believe, I told you yesterday, I can't believe I got to play this course. I got to play this golf course. And it is just, all the holes along the Pacific Ocean, just saying that sentence is just like, you know, I really like the holes on the Pacific Ocean. Usually be like, you know, when the course gets up by Pacific Street, you know, it's really, you know, no, the Pacific Ocean, not Pacific Street, the Pacific Ocean. Just gorgeous, dude. I mean, it is, it looks cool on TV, and I'm just telling you, it is one of the prettiest places I've ever been. Just so, so cool. So cool. We're wide open for the rest of the show. So anything you want to throw out there, hit me up. 402-951-1620. You can email the show, nick@1620thezone.com. You can hit me on Twitter, @NickBaugh. You got Friday Night Lights Camp tonight. It's funny how, you know, I remember when the very first Friday Night Lights Camp happened with Mike Riley, everybody went crazy, and there was, you know, they had some 5-star guys there, a lot of people showed up, and you know, that's what, unfortunately, right or wrong, a lot of what the Mike Riley era was about was everybody got all fired up about things like ancillary things in the offseason. You know, satellite camps, Calabrasca, Keyshawn Johnson Jr., oh my God, Calabasas gonna own California, and all, look at this Friday Night Lights Camp, and all of it kind of amounted to obviously nothing. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like a satellite camp is a bad idea. It's a good idea. Or, you know, Friday Night Light Camp. I mean, obviously, the Scott Frost is still doing it, so it's obviously a good idea. But I think I think sometimes, you ever notice, when there's anxiety about a situation, you tend to overreact emotionally to little things. It's almost like, you ever been around someone on their wedding day, and some tiny little thing happens, and someone will lose their mind? Just because there's anxiety with it, right? I think there was always so much anxiety around Mike Riley, and everyone deep down inside, deep down, you maybe didn't know it, but deep down inside, you kind of knew, I don't know about this situation. So it made you a little more volatile, good and bad, to maybe blow certain things out of proportion. And that's kind of what ended up happening with that's kind of how a lot of this stuff felt with Mike Riley and the satellite camps and the Calabrasca stuff and all that. I mean, it's kind of what it was like. But it's just, it is funny to compare and contrast how big of a deal, you know, Friday Night Lights was under Riley compared to, like, I'm like, oh yeah, Friday Night Lights tonight. I'm kind of excited about that pipeline camp, though. It's kind of unique. 402-951-1620. Go to the phones quick. What's up, Andrew? Appreciate you calling. Fire away.
How are you doing? Hey, good. I want to talk about a little crazy basketball recruiting.
Yep.
On the left, it seems like they're going for a big guy at the end here for that last spot. Is it the last spot on the 2019 class?
Yep.
Do you have any info on, I know this kid out of St. Louis they've talked about, and do you got any insight on that?
Yeah, I mean, nothing more than what you read, you know. I mean, I think obviously with the departure, the official departures of Martin Crumple and Froehling, you know, they have Epperson, they have Christian Bishop, but they might need another big. You know, they are going to, I think they got an Idaho State big man transfer who is going to be on campus, checking some things out. 6'11" kid, but yeah, I would think you maybe need to find some size there. We'll see what ends up happening. I don't think it's like a at this point, you're bolstering depth. It's not like it's a do or die situation, Andrew. Like you got two bigs that you got there that you're going to be okay with. But it's sometimes it's nice to have that third guy, as history has shown us. But I don't really have any more information other than that. Appreciate the phone call at 402-951-1620. Yeah, trying to figure some things out. You got Epperson, you got Christian Bishop. It's hard to play three centers, you know? It's hard to play three centers. The ideal rotation, I'm always the type of guy, like, I like Toronto that they're playing seven guys. Like, I think seven's easiest to coach. Everybody's going to play a lot. But I'm always usually a fan of a backcourt rotation of five guys. And then a front line rotation of three guys. Like, usually it's hard to play. I guess in my mind, I've always felt like it's hard to play more than five perimeter players, and it's hard to play more than three bigs. But the big X factor now and all that stuff is guys that can slide over, guards that can slide over and play the four. You know, like Balak could slide over and play the four, but he's considered a guard in this scenario, you know? I mean, you look at Tyshawn, Davion Mintz, Mitch Balak, Marcus Zagorowski, Christian Bishop, Jacob Epperson. You know, those are like the for sure dudes that are going to be out there doing their thing. You know, and then you got guys like, you know, whether you got guys like the transfer coming in Mahoney, you got Damian Jefferson and what he can do. I mean, obviously his injury kind of derailed his season. And then if one of those young bucks can get on the floor, Sharif Mitchell, you know, the kid from Indianapolis that's coming in. But Mac's a guy that's not afraid to go deep into his bench. You know, I mean, he's not, especially with the pace. It is crazy when I watch the league how much NBA like Creighton system is. It is very NBA like the way they push it, the way they get into the half court and run. I mean, it's pretty remarkable how similar they are.
Yeah, I was watching Crumple. Crumple worked out for the Pacers.
Yep.
And me being a fanboy that I am, I watch all of the interviews that we work out everybody. But I was watching his interview with the Pacers afterward. And they were asking him about his game and that kind of stuff. And he was saying that the system is very similar. He said the only thing on defense that is different is that obviously at Creighton there's that high hedge. He's like,
they were hard, yeah.
Hard hedge. He's like, here it's more switching. He's like, but I feel like a hard hedge is a little bit harder to work. And here the switching, he's like, I'll be able to adapt to that very easily.
Yes, I totally. I mean, because they didn't do that initially, but as the season progressed, they got to where they were unleashing Crumple on hard hedging, and he was really good at that. Where in the league, you don't see as much. You're either trapping, like Crumple was hard hedging and recovering back to his guy. So
exactly.
It's like usually you saw it like you're either trapping and then scrambling out of it, but it was more of like a hard hedge and a recover. But in the league, you're either icing a lot of ball screens, which means you're not letting the player use the screen and forcing them down to the baseline and letting that big kind of stand in the lane, or you're going to switch it. And, you know, Creighton didn't do necessarily a ton of switching 1 through 5. Now, they switch a lot of stuff 1 through 4, but not a lot of switching things 1 through 5. But I've always felt like, I feel like Mac could be an NBA coach. Like I've always thought Matt could I really feel like his style fits well, and I think he's also a guy that is easy to get along with, which is important. Like anybody that's ever met Greg McDermott, it's like if you don't get along with Mac, like, well, I don't know what's that says more about you than anything else. Still can't believe Klay Thompson tore his ACL. I mean, unbelievable.
and wanted to go out there.
It was trying to go back out there. Dude, man, came back out, made the free throws. How confusing was that whole thing? Because did they go to break for a little bit and then came back to Clay?
Yeah.
Come in, like, it was like, what's happening here?
He was being carried to the locker room.
And then all of a sudden, dude comes trotting back out, makes two free throws on a torn ACL.
Right, with a slight limp. And I'm like, this dude was being carried out. And I remember my mom calling. I was like, he's not going to take these free throws. He's not going to be able to come back. And then all of a sudden, they come back from commercial. I was like, this dude never got hurt.
That's a weird rule. I get it, I suppose. Sometimes you make rules, but like, boy, you're making rule for like the one time something really sinister happens. Like, you know, the one time DeAndre Jordan gets fouled and fakes an injury. So Doncic can make the free throw, you know, or something like. But it's kind of a weird deal where it's like the idea that Klay Thompson couldn't have gone back to the locker room and got evaluated, and then he could, like, again, they said it, you either have to shoot the free throws or you cannot come back in the game. It's kind of a weird rule. Game time.